Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Focus TV.
Whoa.
Man, don't even know. Like, we were all in one headspace, you know, to start the show.
Whoa.
But shout out to Adam Schefter and the NFL for always just doing what they do best. You know, free agency season and whatnot. Just threw our whole show, of course. So, Giants fans, we would love to hear from you.
They don't need to be heard. Look, they probably just sad.
I just want to know.
Yeah.
I want you guys.
I'm going to work tomorrow. Look, my coworker, oh, a Giants fan, too. I should.
In a span of 48 hours, you lost Landon Collins and Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Oh,
I want
Jesus.
To know, do you feel that if this is enough? You lost Landon for the nothing. Just for the freebie.
Wow.
He's in the division. Odell Beckham Jr. has been traded to Cleveland per Mike Garofalo. Adam Schefter tweeted 6 minutes ago. Here to trade terms. Giants receive a first round pick in 2019. The 17th overall. It's not a top 10 pick.
Just keep say that again.
I'm sorry.
I gotta pay attention.
Okay, so we're gonna wind this back one time.
All right.
So, and I'm gonna say this slow so y'all can process how much they didn't just get for Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, let me get my MLK pool.
You got it? Okay, cool. Let me see if I can get my, you know, the voices from like the stupid infomercial.
I'm about to make the R. Kelly face. Go ahead.
Oh no. We about to get canceled. See ya.
It was fun. Right, last. She met the meme. Giants received a first round pick in 2019, number 17 overall. They also received the Browns' second and third round pick, or just their second third round pick. And Jabril Peppers, a safety. Yeah.
So they just all in, just trying to rebuild. Move.
Wow.
So what does that mean for Eli?
Yeah, it said, I see what you're saying. It says Browns get Odell Beckham Jr. and Giants get a first round pick, third round pick, and Jabril Peppers.
And they, okay, so, and again, shout out to the Browns because the Giants just got 17 overall, right? You probably, I know you have Eli, whatever, you want a quarterback, or you feel like you need a quarterback for what you have in Saquon, Sterling, and what's left over there in Evan, and things of that nature. It's a big defensive draft, that's cool. But I'd be hard-pressed to believe that your best offer was the 17th overall for, you know, one of the top receivers in the league. And their second, third rounder. So if you're the Browns, you gave up a first rounder. You just gave up a first rounder because you had two-thirds. And I can't wait to find out if it was the higher or the lower third. Because if the Browns kept the higher of the two-thirds, this is even more. Hey, I'm just laughing because...
I'm trying to find this, Giants Twitter, yeah.
Just real quick, rest in peace to my guy, my guy, Romy Parker. He grew up biggest Carolina fan in the world. We used to get in these wonderful debates where... Not even debates. He would tell me just how much he disliked Dave Gettleman's run as GM in Carolina. Giants fans, welcome to the Dave Gettleman era. That being said, welcome to the Focus TV.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. This is literally where we're at right now. Wow. Yeah. For the 17th overall, that's it. So you didn't get it like a
Was
second.
Was it that bad?
My whole thing is, you said you wanted to, like, the only thing you would move him, you know, things that just came out was for something that was worth it, right? I don't feel like this is enough.
It's not.
Oh, it's definitely not enough.
They're just throwing the best wide receivers away for, like...
But that's fine, get them out the NFC.
I guess that's the popular thing to do, right? So you get the guy who bends the field. No, but she's right, though. You get a guy who bends the field wherever he goes, right? And you're just like, eh, it's fine.
Even my dad said, hey, Giants, with that WCF.
All right, but to get back to, you know, where we were going with today's show, the Washington Wizards are currently just 3.5 games out of the eighth spot. They beat the Sacramento Kings last night, 121-115. Bradley Beal had 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists in the win. Cardell was in the building for it, so we're going to get Cardell's thoughts on it. Shout out to Cardell for, you know, paying attention to Twitter when we first started to see that. Or IG, I think you saw it on. But, yeah, you were in the building last night. Your thoughts on, you know, Washington's win and a very big week they have ahead of them.
First things first, the Kings are serious. You know, it was disappointing. I know the building wasn't that full like it should normally would be. Mm-hmm. They're missing out on a future, you know, problem. They gave the Wizards all they could handle. The Wizards went up twice, double-digit lead. You thinking they about to cruise, and them young boys fall back. You know, led by De'Aaron Fox, who's fast approaching becoming the best two-way point guard in the league. I mean, he made Bill work. Bill almost had a triple-double, but it wasn't easy. He made Bill work. Bill was trying to work, you know, play with him on offense the way he's been doing most defenders this season. And Bill had to go to plan B. You know, just, look, I'm not going to play with you. One dribble pull-ups, knock it down, find an open man and stuff. The thing that that sparked the Wizards to the win, the same thing that's been sparking them to the win outside of the normal, you know, starting five, balance scoring seven guys in double figure was the new additions, Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. I can't emphasize how well and how deadly they have been since they joined the team, man. And I'm hearing reports that they might only be able to keep one of the two. They got to find a way to keep both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. Jabari is proving why he was the number two pick. You know, Bobby Portis, the way he's going on being consistent, not just on the defensive end, but also, you know, rebounding, being able to score from all three levels. Those are added elements that the Wizards haven't had prior to that, and they're being consistent. Those are just assets that I just feel you got to find a way to keep, man, even if it may mean going over the luxury tax or whatnot. You have to do what you got to do. But ultimately, when the game is closed, De'Aaron Fox, he hit him hard in the early part of the fourth quarter, you know, to keep the Kings tied up and get them ahead. Brad Beal proved why he's an all-star, you know, one of the best players in the league. He basically closed the game. You know, tough and ones, hitting tough threes, going to the free throw line, him and Tomas hitting clutch free throws to close them out. And like you said, with this homestand, that's just the first game. It's a five-game homestand where this is pivotal. They pretty much got to win every game to stay in the mix. If they lose one or two, that might be a wrap. You know, especially with their issues of playing on the road.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night they got Orlando, who's another, you know, their problem too. They're coming
nice.
Up.
They're
yes, exactly. So it's the same type of intensity. They have to try to win.
Yeah, and then the follow-up Orlando on Friday, you have the 10th-ranked Hornets. You're talking about being in the mix. Those are two games. Not only the two games that you have to win if you're trying to make a playoff push, but two wins really muddies that. It muddies the situation for both those teams. Those teams can't afford a loss to the Wizards either. Those are two huge games. As you brought up the dimension that Portis and Parker bring, yeah, it's a no-brainer. They have to be brought back. Obviously, you know that everyone's getting hung up on that $20 million that Jabari made in Chicago, but I would like for folks to throw that number away. That's Chicago. This is Washington. Two totally different situations.
Go ahead.
You're good.
And I want to also shout out the defense, Brad Beal, you know, his defense on Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield came in fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting at 43%.
Mm-hmm.
He held Buddy Hield to 1 of 9 shooting from three.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you got to keep saying, when the Wizards win, they play defense and they rebound. When they don't, they lose. I don't care what they do offensively, man. It's, when they play well in those two areas, they win. And also controlling turnovers, but they turned the Kings over as well about the same amount of times. They tied them in rebounds at 47. Overall, the Kings as a team are fifth in the NBA three-point shooting, and they held them to 33%. The Wizards shot better than them, 37%. You know, it was that close. I mean, that's the reason why they won 121 to 115. And also, I like how the Wizards didn't settle. They attacked them, and they got to the free throw line a little bit more, and they made a little bit more free throws. You know, they shot 81%, 27-33, where the Kings shot 75%, 24-32. It was the little things in this game where throughout the season we saw the Wizards fail to win those little battles of 50-50 balls, making free throws, getting stops when they needed, where they finally did it against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot out west. So, you know, you got to give props where it's due, but they got to continue to do that again tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, for this playoff push, you got to finish this week 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. It's a must, and that's before you get to that game on Saturday against Memphis, because the next two are against – that's in your division. Mm-hmm. You know, like the three teams ahead of you are in your division. I believe in the order, it's Washington, Orlando – it's Washington, Charlotte, Orlando, Miami. 3.5 games back, but it's all division opponents. So these wins, if you're able to get those wins, it's almost like two. It counts as two almost. in this situation.
And give props to Tomas Satoransky, you know, 17, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, couple steals. Having to chase De'Aaron Fox all around. De'Aaron Fox in his grill trying to guard him. Now, if he disrupt him, irritate him. I mean, he irritated him a little bit. He got attacked for the first time in his career where he, he threw the ball up against the goalpost. But, all in all, he played well. Where De'Aaron Fox, when they tried to switch De'Aaron Fox to slow down Bill, he had to come back and get on Tomas, because Tomas was hitting wide open threes, hitting shots and stuff. And that allowed Bill to keep doing what he was doing, because the whole game plan was like, which is a lot of teams' game plan, wear Bill out and make the others try to beat you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's proven to be inconsistent.
Which is why those two that you brought up about retaining is so important. Because it's changed the floor. It's changed how you can't swing that much attention to Bill on the floor at that time.
Because
you're giving those guys one-on-ones. And we've seen at times when Jabari coming off the bench, he's too big for guys at his position or larger. And it's bully ball with those smaller. So, yeah, you have those. I know some folks have issues. Yeah, there's going to be turnovers and things like that. But as Brooks has said, there's no such thing as a good turnover, but I'll live with the one if you're being aggressive more often than not because of what it's cost. Yeah.
And listen, he had 18, 4, and 4 in 23 minutes on 7-13 shooting Jabari Parker off the bench. You see what I'm saying? So what if he was playing starter minutes? That could easily be 25, 30, 10, and 6. He's a problem, man, coming off the bench, and they have no answer for him. Then you look at, Bobby Porter, 17-13, 13 rebounds, three steals, one block. He outplayed Willie Cauley-Stein, held him to 10 points and 8 rebounds. And, Willie Cauley-Stein excels in rebounding and blocking shots. Those are matchups that they're winning where throughout the season they haven't won. So you got to keep that going. And they got a beast coming in with Vucevic.
Yes.
With Orlando, then they got Aaron Gordon, so they got to deal with them. Terrence Ross going off lately, so it's a problem coming with Orlando, and they fighting too. And this is a season where guys are fighting for playoff seeding and everything, so every game is hard. So they can't just rely on Bill to save the day. If you draw 50, cool, we'll take it, but you can't rely on that right now. It got to be a team effort, and I love the balance. 7 guys, like I said, in double figures. Chase and Randall, who just got brought back down to the G League. Played extremely well, 12 points of 4-6 shooting. Actually kind of, contained Fox to a certain extent. I know when Yogi Ferrell got in, he basically just destroyed Yogi Ferrell. Yogi Ferrell went back to the bench. They had to put Fox back in. I'm serious. Ferrell only played 5 minutes.
Oh,
got one shot, so.
You can't ask for more.
Exactly. So, just have to do that, man. So just keep the balance going, play defense and rebound, limited turnovers, and they'll be fine.
All right, and as always, stay with us here at The Focus TV. Get over to findusback.com, amanosports.com for Wizards coverage for the rest of the week. Oh, the other caveat about, Odell going to the Browns, him and Landry are back together.
Yeah.
That's wild, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm still kind of lost, still caught in, I'm trying, I'm diving deep into Giants Twitter at this moment, trying to figure out how they feel.
So I tweeted a little bit ago, they're like Cleveland, LSU, and then Washington, Alabama. Guys, what are they doing on the roster from the
Cavs? They've already dubbed Odell the new king of Cleveland.
Uh-oh.
I'm too petty, so I'm
going to do it. That's why I said uh-oh.
And then even if you want to dive a little bit deep in, they got Jarvis out there still. They got Odell now. And depending on how his, whatever goes on with his case or whatever he got going on. Don't forget Kareem Hunt still sitting on the bench out there now.
Yeah, you were. About
so if he finds his way onto a field.
And the draft is coming.
Ah, Jesus.
And the draft is still coming.
Hugh Jackson, you almost made it.
The draft is coming.
We're almost there.
With the quarterback that night.
Baker's in
Baker,
heaven.
Yeah.
You still got Njoku at tight end?
Yeah.
So, DC United. There's been a lot that's been said about because they have some issues with Flow Sports, which, they were going to be the sole provider, the broadcaster of DC United this year in terms of away games and such. Things didn't go well the first weekend. Statements were issued by team personnel of DC United from the higher-ups. Long story short, they're going to try to get that together because it's just it wasn't a good look for the first week at all.
Right.
That being said, Bill Amin and Sean Johnson, you got to see two goalkeepers that the United States have. They got put to the test. Both their teams put them in awkward situations at times. Both teams are talented enough to create several chances. And both Amin and Johnson, time and time again, answered the bell. That's literally the biggest takeaway from the 0-0 draw between DC United and New York City FC. And for DC United, a team that struggled on the road last year, and last year, again, it's kind of outlier because while Audi Field was being completed, they spent like months on the road last year. Mm-hmm. Also, the team that closed the year wasn't the team that literally went through that road trip. You know, that whole entire first half of the season that was on the road, two different teams. That being said, man, look, it's hard to earn a point on the road in MLS. It's not bad for DC United to start the season. They're 1-0-1. Bill Ameed recorded his 200th career start in the match. He also recorded his second clean sheet of 2019. That's a shutout. And his it was also his 56th of his career. This week, they'll be at Audi Field for a Saturday matchup with visiting Real Salt Lake. Also, shout out to Paul Areola. U.S. Men's National Team head coach Greg Berhalter has called him up for the second time this year as he announces the Men's National Team pool for the upcoming friendlies. We're going to take a quick break. You're watching the Focus TV. And when we get back, some college basketball. 9-4-50 breakdown. And yeah, Cardell got some stuff for us at Rapid Fire. He's happy about it. Yeah, we'll see how Octavia and I feel come back to the show. You're watching the Focus TV. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, folks, to the Focus. As Wilson said, you know, it's the college segment. We got a lot coming up. A lot of conference tournaments going on. You know, the women's are wrapping up in college basketball, but on the men's side, most are just getting started. I will be in Brooklyn this week coming up, starting tomorrow for, you know, the A-10 tournament, men's basketball championship tournament. You know, what people don't realize is 14 teams in the conference, you know, basically 5 through 10. They get a first day by top 4 seeds. They get 2 days. So starting tomorrow, you know, we have GW. Everybody knows I cover them exclusively here. You know, they're the 12 seed. They face 13 seed Massachusetts at 1 p.m., which will be on ESPN+. If y'all want to check the game out. And the second game tomorrow is the 11 seed Richmond as they take on the 14 seed Fordham at 3:30 right afterwards. On Thursday, we have 8 seed Rhode Island versus 19 LaSalle at noon. That will be on NBC Sports Network. And then game 4, 5th seed George Mason, who's vastly improved this season, will take on the winner of George Washington and Massachusetts. Game 5, 7th seed Duquesne will take on 10th seed St. Joseph at 6 p.m. And game 6, St. Louis will take on the winner of Richmond and Fordham at 8:30 on Thursday. You know, Friday, that's when you get the top dogs starting, you know, the quarterfinals. Game 7, top seed BCU. Yes, they're back on top of the A-10, you know, bringing the havoc. They back at it, man. They got that defense back working after, you know, a hiatus from the year before, so to speak. They take on the winner of Game 3, basically the winner between Rhode Island and LaSalle. In Game 8, 4th seed St. Bonaventure will take on the winner of George Mason. And obviously the winner, whoever wins between George Washington and Massachusetts. In Game 9, 2nd seed Davidson, they're still in the mix. They had the player of the year. John Axel Gummison, I don't want to butcher his name, you know, 6'4 guard. He was named player of the year. You got to keep an eye on him. He has a shot. Possibly playing 82 games, depending on obviously what he do in workouts. He finished 3rd in scoring, 17.2, 5th in rebounds, 7.3 rebounds, and 4.7 assists per game. He's the 3rd player for Davidson in the last 5 years to win conference player of the year. Last year, Peyton Aldridge, and 2014-15 season, it was Tyler Kalinowski. So that program that a certain MVP for the Golden State Warriors kind of put on the national map is still going strong. So, you know, kudos to him. And obviously, the last game, you know, Dayton, they take on the winner of St. Louis and game 2 winner, which is Richmond, taking on Fordham. Then Saturday, we have the semifinals at 1 p.m. and 3:30. Championship game is on Sunday at 1 p.m. on CBS Sports.
Man. That sounds like you're going to be busy.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till you get done so I can get in this Maryland State schedule.
We need to get to that. It's a long week.
Yes,
all right,
is.
So the Maryland Terrapins, going to the women's side of things real quick. They made it to their 5th consecutive Big Ten Conference title game to face a team they've, you know, they went back and forth with Iowa all year. Like, they were going back and forth to find out who won the regular season title this year. So I'm not really, truly, I'm not, like, shocked about how that turned out. Because each team got each other during the course of the regular season. Big Ten Player of the Year, Megan Gustafson, 45 points, 10 rebounds for Iowa. There's a reason, you know, we started that by saying Big Ten Player of the Year, leading to a 90-76 win over the Terps. That being said, Kyla Charles showed out, refused to quit, scored a career-high 36 points in the loss. Maryland overcame a few deficits, the tied at 53 in the second half, but Iowa was able to respond with a pivotal 16-7 run. And then they were able to put things away in the fourth quarter, outscoring Maryland 21-16. Charles was named to the all-tournament team after scoring 79 points over a three-game span. For you mathematicians out there, that's 26.3 per. The Terps have returned home. They will find out where they're headed. Well, where they're seated and headed in this year's NCAA tournament on Selection Monday. You know, the men's have Selection Sunday. The women's is Selection Monday. So that's Monday the 18th at 7 p.m. on ESPN. I will kindly say, even after this loss to Iowa, Maryland's not going to be a fun team for people to play no matter where they're seated. It's just not going to be an easy out for what they bring to the table. And with Kyla Charles kind of really coming into her own, it's going to be tough. Cardell, you just made a face. What'd you see now?
No. I'm ready to rapid fire.
Seriously?
Ooh, yeah, I got ready for that.
So we could just throw all the rapid fire stuff you sent to us away. We got more stuff.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
You started to take shortcuts like a certain player.
Nah, we could just start with two. How about that?
Nah. You know, Maryland State's obviously starting. I'm going to start with the girls' side of things. Yes. You know, they play at Towson, not College Park, Towson. A lot of people get that confused, at the SECU Arena this Thursday in the Class 4A game at 3 p.m. You have the 4CU Western taking on top seed Charles H. Flowers. Most people don't know about them. They shine in this season, came out of nowhere. And also in the 5 p.m. game, they had third seed Bethesda Chevy Chase taking on Old Mills, second seed. And then in the Class 3A semifinals at 7 p.m., they had fourth seed Aberdeen taking on top seed Baltimore Polytechnic. Baltimore Polytechnic are dangerous on the girls and boys side. So, you know, I love seeing both sides at the same school dominate like they're doing. It's great. And at 9 p.m. on the semifinals, for the first day, obviously, third seed Frederick takes on second seed Long Reach. On Friday, Class 2A semifinals at 3 p.m., we have Hereford versus top seed River Hill. At 5 p.m., you have third seed Middletown versus second seed Queen Anne's. And then in the second semifinal, the Class 1A at 7 p.m., we have four seed Pikesville taking on top seed Largo. Shout out to Pettis and the coaching staff, and on the ball world, all those guys over there. And at 9 p.m., the final semifinal game will be third seed Smithsburg taking on Coppin Academy. And the championship day on Saturday, which is still at Towson, the Class 2A championship will be at 1 p.m., 4A at 3 p.m., 1A at 6 p.m., and 3A at 8 p.m. Moving to the boys' side on Thursday, the first semifinal day, 3A, 3 p.m., seed Milton Wright takes on top seed Baltimore Polytechnic, defending 3A state champions. 5 p.m., third seed Governor Thomas Johnson takes on second seed Reservoir. And in the Class 4A, 7 p.m., fourth seed Delaney takes on top seed Eleanor Roosevelt, who's always seemed to be in the championship mix the last few years. They've just been a powerhouse for forever, going all the way back before me, Delonte Weslong, Eddie Baslin. Just they've been kind of the standard, yeah. And 9 p.m., third seed Richard Montgomery takes on second seed Broadneck. In the second semifinal day on Friday, for the Class 1A semifinal, 3 p.m., 4 seed Lake Clifton, led by Coach Herman Shree-Hareed, Dunbar legend Syracuse, one of the best coaches in the country, takes on top seed Frederick Douglass. 5 p.m., 3rd seed Southern Garrett takes on 2nd seed Chrisfield. At 7 p.m., the 2A, 4th seed Patterson takes on 1st seed Thomas Stone. And at 9 p.m., 3rd seed Oakdale takes on 2nd seed with Comical. And then on the Saturday, championship day, obviously at the University of Maryland College Park, the Class 1A championship will be at 1 p.m., Class 3A championship at 3, Class 2A at 6, and the Class 4A will be at 8 p.m.
Man.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yep.
It's officially that time of year. All right, so, you know, to transition to another portion of our show, Jamal Hayward over at 9450. The 9450 breakdown begins now this week. It's a pinch post option, outside pivot body jab. Again, it's a pinch post option, outside pivot body jab. And then we'll go into a quick break. And when we get back, it's Cardo's favorite time of the show to torment Octavia and I in rapid fire. This is the 9450 breakdown. All right, man. Octavia just lightening us during the break. Man, it's fun times, man. Twitter's a fun place when used for positive things. But go ahead, Cardo.
Here we go.
Go ahead and get this all stuff right out the way, man.
Well, everyone is aware of James Dolan, his banning of a fan. But Charles Oakley chimed in and said, basically, James Dolan is a bully. He just tries to bully everybody, and it doesn't make sense. He bullies people because he has money and power. Then a new report just came out where Dolan says the Knicks fan ambushed them. He sold the video. He said he accuses the fan of selling the video to TMZ. And he said the ban is only coming from the fact that we now have learned, according to him, that he planned it. They were stalking me. You can't do that in Madison Square Garden. You are not allowed to stalk the owner and confront him like that. Those particular guys had planned on making that video and selling it on TMZ. What are your thoughts, man?
So I'm watching a video now. I can't really see what's going on. So this is just a lot. I just feel like you're an owner. Like, owners should do owner things. Like, sit in the press box, you know, just watch from afar. Like, it's just too much. Like, it's entirely too much. I can't take it. With everything else going on in the sports world right now, I just need him to just go sit in your press box, watch the game, and just stop. But, you know, I guess that's the new wave.
Yeah. I'm with Oak on this. It's... If we're going to just, you know, revise history or whatever, right, when we do things or things happen, just don't. I don't really have words for Nolan. It's just yet another thing that's happened while he's been in charge of the Knicks. Another silly thing that... Go ahead, Brad. I keep talking, I'm going to get in trouble, so go ahead.
The lengths that insecurity can take you, man. Come on, man. He ambushed you. My man talking trash, that's what fans do. We're going to get in some more about this fan stuff.
Yeah, you know that.
That's what fans do, especially in New York. They get rowdy. They're passionate. They're going to let you know. They don't care who you are. If you're not getting it done, you're going to hear about it. If you're getting it done, you're going to hear about it. It's called life. And... all he said was, yo, you need to sell the team. He could have just kept walking. This is a non-issue. I'm pretty sure he's heard other people yell that.
I agree. I'm pretty sure he has.
So, and then you just get in your feelings, like, come here, you know, get security. Then you see it on TMZ and stuff. You talking about he sold it or whatnot. I mean, you banned him. You see what I'm saying? So, the ban to me came out before this TMZ video or whatever came out, because it wasn't on TMZ first. It was just floating over social media. So... you know, he said he ambushed it, like he was going to just see you walking through the tunnel hoping to run into you, and we're going to get some money out of this and send a video on TMZ. That makes no sense, man. What's the Spider-Man slogan? To much is given, you know, you got to accept more responsibility for what it's called. You've given a lot. You're a billionaire owner. You're the owner of the Knicks. You represent the NBA. You represent a lot of companies and stuff like that. Even if he is, and that was harmless talking trash, man. Like,
that's
not even that. It's just, I wouldn't even look at him. Like,
and even New York, that was tame.
Yeah.
That was tame. For as bad as that,
Look, man. I was walking in New York. I seen a cab hit a dude in a wheelchair and keep going, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously. Man. Like, something. You know, like, that's it. I'm pretty sure people are, you know, yelling worse things at you, man. Bottom line is, stop being so sensitive and focus on the basketball aspect. Hope you finally got a coach that can get the job done. I believe in Fizdale. You got some front office people in there that obviously they on the right shot making good moves. Look what they did with finding Alonzo Trier and Mitchell Robinson, where a lot of teams passed on them that you can try to build around. Yeah, you traded Porzingis, but you got Dennis Smith in return. So you got some young pieces. You're going to be in the mix for the number one pick, a high pick. So just try to build that way and focus on that, man. You're not going to focus on drama. People won't talk forever, so you're not going to stop that. And, you know, I mean, you just got to have thicker skin than that, man. If you can't handle that, though, sit in a box or something. You ain't got to interact with the fans, man. So, you know, that's my take on the sticking with fan situations. you know, the fan of Westbrook. Obviously, everybody saw the, you know, exchange between Russell Westbrook and a fan who's hurling racial slurs at him during the Jazz game last night. He has been banned. The Utah Jazz organization said, you know, they were swift to act, and here was their statement. The Utah Jazz Larry H. Miller Group announced today a permanent ban on the fan who engaged in an inappropriate interaction with Oklahoma City Thunder Russell Westbrook last night at Memphis Smart Home Arena. The ban is effective immediately and includes all arena events. The organization conducted an investigation through video reviewing eyewitness accounts. The ban is based on excessive derogatory verbal abuse directed at a player during the game that violated the NBA code of conduct. The Utah Jazz will not tolerate fans who act inappropriately. There is no place in our game for personal attacks or disrespect. On the other side, Russell Westbrook was fined $25,000 as well for his remarks. You know, what are your thoughts on the situation?
I definitely think it's something that happens more frequently than a lot of people realize. And I think that fans sometimes forget that, yes, there's quote-unquote celebrities or famous for playing basketball, but at the end of the day, they still a man. Like, you can't just say whatever you want to say to a man and think there's going to be no repercussions when it comes down to it. Yes, Russell is losing $25K, but I'm sure that's like a penny compared to everything else he got, especially if he feels like he still has his dignity at the end of the day. I think it was a great move for the Jazz to ban him from all arena activities because it sets a bad precedent for Utah as that city. You know, I'm sure there have been in the past other situations that have arisen. And what I also like too is Donovan Mitchell came out with a statement and said how, you know, the situation bothered him as well and how grateful he was to the NBA and to the Utah Jazz to move swiftly in the situation, because it's not only a bad look for the league, it's not only a bad look for Utah, it's going to be a bad look for the team himself, because what other players are going to want to come and play with you in Utah when there are other people that are going through situations like that? So it was a good thing that I feel like the organization took a stand and was like, we're not going to tolerate this. Like, it has to change in some type of way. And I think it's a good point that they're making it as public as they are, because a lot of people need to see this and they need to know that, you know, we're not going to stand for stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, go what I tell you. So I give credit to the organization for how swiftly they did their investigation. Because just coming back from, you know, the videos that were shared on Twitter last night, things looked one way. You know, and obviously we can't see every...
Yeah, like they can.
You know what I'm saying? Like they did. So, you know, it definitely changed a little bit about my original thoughts to it after we were talking earlier today. So credit to Utah for knowing that stigma's out there for how their fans, you know, that rap that some of their fans get, and wanting to change it. Credit to Donovan Mitchell for it. And for Russ, yeah, that's part of the consequence for engaging with an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with
it. He's still at work at the end of the day. You know, like, you can be on your job at work and somebody say something crazy to you, and you'd be like, is it worth it right now? And at that moment, he felt like it was worth it, but he is still at work, so I do still think he, you know, had to be reprimanded as well in a certain sense, because they don't want it to run rapid, and you don't want melees at the palace anymore.
I mean, yeah, and the other thing is, like Cardell said, the other side of this, as if you're a fan, like, you know, just with sports in general, if they know they can get to you, like, people are going to keep towing this line, maybe not in terms of where this guy went with it, in terms of the words that came out of his mouth, but in terms of just trying to get under your skin, like, you're now a target. You're even more of a target for hecklers going forward. Again, not to this level in terms of where this guy was going with it, but just period.
I mean, I agree with that. First thing I say was definitely ban them.
Yeah.
You know, once you get across that racial line, hey, man, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You got to get banned. But I also didn't agree with Russ. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's ways. You just got to be with you, man. It's ways you could check people. Like how he was talking and his wife's talking, you know, get on your knees and all that stuff. See, me, I would have had fun with it. You know, I would have been saying, oh, get on my knees. I'm like, I'm pretty sure your wife would enjoy it. And I would have went there, you know, and that would have stung him. And he would have checked all that. But then, mostly, I was like, well, that's how you talking? That would have been a game I would have loved to see Russ go off of 50, 15 to 15, just destroy them. Then after the game, like, what? You know, the reporters were like, man, we got into you.
Yeah, point
of view. It was a guy in the stands, you know, giving me racial slurs and stuff like that with his wife and section such and such. Y'all can roll back the tape and see. So I had to destroy the Jazz, and now I'm letting you know about it. NBA need to check it out and move on. You save your $25,000.
Yeah.
You destroy the team, so everybody hot, you know, because they in the playoff mix too and all that. You send in a message, like, to all the fans, like, you need to be careful. I'm not that dude. You need to, like, be quiet. You see what I'm saying? And then they would have investigated, and then I'm pretty sure the same thing would have happened to them. My thing is people over-dramatizing things like this is just unacceptable. I'm like, look, man, you're not going to stop fans from talking. And all this extra stuff saying fans should just come to the game and sit there and literally be quiet. What do you think road fans are doing? They're fanatics. They're rooting for their team. They do not want to see you come in and destroy their team and stuff like that. Like, I'm all for you getting it, fans getting into it. You suck. You garbage, man. That's cool. Just don't cross a certain line. You know what I'm saying? And people talking about that they shouldn't really say anything. That's just not realistic, and that's weak to me. And that speaks to something that's worrying me across society, where people are so damn sensitive about every little thing, where it's just like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. Like, what the damn, like, my thing is, I'm a grown man. If I pay my money and stuff like that, I wish somebody come shush me. Now, it's a line I personally just will not cross. I won't be going, I won't do that. I won't disrespect like that. But if you on a courtside seat, man, game on the line, man, you think you can get in the player's head to win? Yo, you know, LeBron, you suck. And he missed both free throws, win.
No, it's part of being a fan. It's part of what goes with it.
Part of the course. And another thing, didn't we just have Clay complain about the lack of energy from his fan base when they lost to the Suns?
I guess that's what they wanted there.
So that's what I'm saying. So you can't have it both ways, man. Like, That's why you're a professional. You got to deal with that, man. That's called finesse. Anybody that has played sports, you going, especially if it's a rivalry game. Like, picture the Cowboys coming to play the Reds in Washington. I only like saying that name out of respect. Coming to play Washington, and you know the Washington fans saying, "Yeah, man, Dak, I love that touchdown throw, man. Yeah, man, you know,
it's Ezekiel,
200 yards rushing. Keep it up, man." Or they just sitting there quiet. The players be like, "Yo, what the hell's going on?" Come on, man. That's not really. Come on, man. Get over yourselves, like, though.
You got to take. Yeah, obviously, this is horrible. You take that for what it is. Cool, and you set that aside. But to take it to where you were saying, to generalize and make some big stop.
Yeah, and also, you got to start looking at Russ, too. This isn't the first incident he had with a fan. You know, I love how he plays on the edge, but he goes overboard. He does a lot of faking. And for the past few years, like, me and the homies, we would talk, and they'd be like, "Man, he a great player, but I can't mess with him. He be fake." I'm like, "Man, he just want to edge and all that." I know, because I play on edge. That's how I like to play.
Right.
But I won't go like that. I don't bucket all these players and stuff like that. And then when the homie back phase of the altercation come, when there's 50 people in between, then you come and push him real quick or something like that. Then look at the ref. I ain't do nothing. That's weak to me. That's what Russ has a rep, and that's why people are coming at him. Somebody need to check that, like, just ball. Greek Freak plays on the edge. You don't see him doing all that.
He doesn't respond to anything.
He just dominates. He just dunks on your whole team. And see what I'm saying? And he clearly plays on the edge. You can see in his face, he a flex, but he don't buck at all these, you know, all these types of players. My thing is, when you keep putting that out there, someone's going to test you. Put it this way. If you walk around thinking you the Hulk, someone's going to see if they could be your Thanos.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta limit that, man. And that's my beef with Russ with that in that situation, and kind of in that situation stuff. Like, they say he don't say nothing. I saw his teammates say he don't say nothing. Man, please. We've seen him at the Wizards game. He'll bark to the crowd and stuff. It may not be to a certain individual, but he's talking. You know what I'm saying? So
he sits the crowd and does the rock the baby.
Exactly. He does it all day. You feel what I'm saying? So people are just take. Come on, man. So
you be talking cash out there, but it's okay.
Exactly.
Go ahead. What's up next?
Oh. A report came out from Zach Lowe. Hey, Cavaliers explore signing Kevin Durant in 2016. Late June 2016, just days after winning one of the most thrilling and historic NBA finals in history, David Griffin, then the Cleveland Cavaliers GM, gathered his staff and gave them a directive, explore ways to get Kevin Durant. Everyone knew even getting a meeting was a long shot. They would have had to gut most of their roster around LeBron James to acquire Durant, but they had to at least do their due diligence. By then, there was a creeping fear that Durant might really join the Golden State Warriors, fresh off a 73-win season and finals heartbreak. Fear.
Okay.
At the expense of James and the Cavs. Everyone understood what that would do to the league's competitive landscape. I don't believe you can dream big enough in NBA, Griffin says now in recalling that meeting. You have to go through the exercise. What are your thoughts on that?
I just want to laugh, that's all. That's my answer. Like, come on, bro.
Goat James.
Hold on. So what we're saying is that the large contingent of people. I'm sorry.
No, you good. That was my answer. I laughed.
Okay, cool. What we're saying is a large contingent of people that were mad at one Draymond Green for calling said Kevin Durant after an L in said finals. But Draymond at least had the gravitas to call said Kevin Durant before Cleveland, who won said championship, could try to get... They were trying to get in the same meetings, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Go ahead, Curtis. Interesting.
It just speaks to what has consistently been going on with certain star player, you know, who runs those teams. Let's call it what it is, man. Like, if you really think he wasn't in on it, yeah, okay. You know, yeah, okay. So, especially if they just won a championship, it was fair because they knew if he went to that team, it was a wrap. It was the end. And
fears turned to reality.
And it was over. And what has happened?
I'm turning my mic off.
It's been ugly. You know, it's been destructive.
That's funny.
And, you know, that's
I had to wait 3 years to come out with this.
It's going to get worse. So all the stuff when people calling us haters for saying stuff that we obviously can just tell what's going on, talking to people behind the scenes, we don't look like haters no more. It's starting to come out. And that's it's ironic how when certain athletes' demise start to go down slowly but surely, news come out.
Okay, my bad. More NFL news. D Ford is no longer with the Chiefs. He's with the linebackers. He's with the Niners. My bad. I was reading linebacker, and I was laughing because it was just for a 2020 second round pick.
Who you saying?
D Ford, the Chiefs. Just for us.
Well, that's good.
People out here just giving up stuff.
Hey, that's good for us.
A second rounder. I know the Niners had to rework a new deal with them, but the second round pick's next year.
Yeah, you're mine.
Okay, cool.
Can we get something else?
Nah, you good. What's next?
I want some more stuff.
Not yet. You got a championship.
I want some more.
Yeah.
The report, Lakers coaching staff urged Magic Johnson to re-sign Brooke Lopez and Julius Randle. But Magic Johnson, his decision-making obviously backfired. He chose to go with Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, and Michael Beasley. Randle's having a solid season. I feel like a better season, good season for the Pelicans. And Lopez, obviously, we see what he's doing with the Bucks. He's at a stretch big dynamic that's hard to guard.
My man's out at the hash.
Yeah, I mean, really knocking him down, bro. So, what are your thoughts on this decision-making from Magic?
I think it's always funny when previous, like, star players in the NBA move to front office positions. And a lot of times it doesn't really work out well. You have a couple of ones that do, but for some reason, it may be the decision making behind it. Like, I just don't, you know how they always say, yeah, the best coaches a lot of times weren't the best player on their team growing up or something like that. Like, a lot of players that weren't, you know, marquee players coming up, they transcend into better coaches. And I just feel like it's the opposite with this. Like, the really, really good players, like, they don't really transcend that well into front office positions. And I don't know if it's their decision-making. You would think they have good decision-making from being that well-versed into the game, but it's not really working over well. A lot of times I feel like these franchises, you know, hire these players, these previous players, you know, just off a name alone and just hope that people want to come there for that. But it's obviously not working out too well for the Lakers this year. So they might want to go back to the drawing board, get some more information when they make these decisions. And because a lot of the decisions that they made so far, I mean, I guess outside of LeBron for you Laker fans, hasn't really worked out that well.
I would include that one. I would include that one because so technically, right, we sit there talking about how Golden State was built, right? All the time.
Yeah.
Spurs.
You draft it, right?
Yep.
You draft well.
Kings now.
You develop. Yep. Look at the Kings. We got the Bucks. Hawks on the way.
The Bucks.
Trust the process.
Right? You got them.
Bucks, Sixers.
You had a good group of young players. You had a very good group of young players, right?
Mm-hmm.
You literally have the same record right now from last year as you do this year with said best player in the NBA. I know there's a bunch of injuries or what have you. My point being is, And my guy Samar said this about Philly. I think when they traded for Jimmy Butler, his thing was like, why did you just put a clock on yourself? And the Lakers sped up something they didn't have to speed up.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? You could have just kept this core and kept building, let them grow and get to what you get. As they grow, you can add a free agent here and there. What was the big first free agent that the Warriors got? They were together. Nobody cared about them. Getting better, whatever. Iguodala was the first flash.
Yeah, they
still, it wasn't anything huge. Then you get Livingston. But you have a really nice core of young dudes. Look at the big that they gave to the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
He's over there, and the Clippers are a playoff team right now, correct?
Yeah.
I can double check for you. Go ahead.
Seventh.
No, I'm sorry. I just can't think of standings.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so they're in the – and they have – technically on paper, in terms of – it just didn't make sense. It's fair right now to question, was all of this worth it when you didn't have to go this route?
To piggyback on what Octavia said,
mm-hmm.
I understand, like they say, former great players, when they get into front office positions, they're not normally as successful, is because they don't know how to check their ego at the door and put the work in. That goes for anything. Because you see Larry Bird, when he coached the Pacers, he was, you know, even when he coached the Pacers, they was battling Jordan and trying to get, and they went to the finals, lost to Kobe. Shaq was knocking on the door, winning the championship. And he went into the front office and became GM. Look what those pieces he built, you know, getting Jermaine O'Neal. He even worked with a guy they really didn't click when they were players, with Isaiah Thomas, when he coached for a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all those players, you know, getting drafted Jonathan Bennett, who was talented. His knees just failed him. Al Harrington out of high school. He did a great job. Lord knows we could talk about Jerry West for years. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
self-explanatory. He's over there, correct?
That's my point. You see what I'm saying? So, former player, Doc Rivers was an all-star. You say he was above average player. He was a good player. Look at the coaching, what he's doing with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. They try to, you know, not give him a lot of credit with the Boston stuff because you had all that talent or whatever. But like Kobe always say, name a coach that hasn't won a championship without all-time talent. It just doesn't happen in this league. The league is too competitive. It comes to the work. And I think also when you stay out of it's – I'm going to give an example. When I was working on Chicago Overseas, when I got out of college, I didn't have any connection to AAU and stuff no more.
Mm-hmm.
So hurt my knee, got an opportunity to coach AAU basketball. I came back in, I plugged in, and it was totally different than when I played AAU. For one, it was a million more teams just mm-hmm. in the area locally. All these extra tournaments. I'm like, what kind of tournament is this? Like, there was nothing called Hoop Group when I came up. There were about four camps you hit, and you had to be on the Nike circuit and Adidas during the summer. It's camps. It was about 10 camps just locally that you had must attend to try to – it changed vastly. So when you in the business world and you come back in, the league has changed. You see what I'm saying? And how you view the league and your outlook on basketball might be one thing that might have worked for a certain time, but it's totally different now. And then on top of that, you got also getting caught up in that Showtime. They always trying to repeat Showtime. That was mm-hmm. special. You can't bring those type of players back. When you're trying to bring back Showtime, cool, we get LeBron, but at what price? Because when you get a guy like that in the twilight of his career, he would have to be a special type of dude to kind of take a step back for the greater good of hope. And like I said, goes back to checking your ego at the door. You know what I'm saying? For these young guys to develop, if you come in there, you got to chill and allow them to develop. We all know that's not LeBron James. He has never done that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, you was gambling. Now, it went good for a while, but one thing I love about Jalen Rose, he kept saying at the beginning, we will see when the schedule gets tougher. And then when he got hurt, the schedule got tougher. He was playing heavy hitters, all through teams emerged in the West that they didn't expect to merge. This is what happened. Now they're out of the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, and then also taking your ego out, sometimes you got to listen to the coach. He has a better pulse on the dynamic of the team, the roster, and the locker room than you do. You just came in. So if he's saying, yo, we need to keep Brooke, you know what I'm saying, we need to keep Julius Randle, I will scream, y'all better keep Julius Randle. He came on strong last year. And then y'all let him go for nothing to go to New Orleans and stuff, man. He's just murdering dudes. And it's just like y'all just giving up young talent, young pieces and stuff, trying to like win right now, just get on these stars and stuff like that and cater to that. Meanwhile, y'all trying to keep up with a team that slowly but surely built their team up to become the dynasty that they are. Yeah, Kevin put them over the top, but that thing was set with draft picks.
They got one without them. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you said, the groundwork was laid. There was just – sometimes you could just let stuff, you know, keep it in the oven longer. You could have let it just get to where it needed to get.
Yeah, and be patient. Sometimes you just gotta be patient, man. You ain't going away. You the icon. You like, come on, man. You just chill. Let these youngers to grow.
And who's, I'm sorry to cut you off, but who's to say that if you left that those kids alone, they couldn't have their own version of Showtime without any outside influences?
And then also look at that. Realistically, LeBron only has a few years. Even if he plays at a high level, to even be at that level where he's a difference maker. So what happens when he leave and you done gutted the whole team? You back to rebuilding
and starting all over again.
But you can say, yeah, we won a championship and all that, but now we going to track stars. That L.A. stuff don't matter. Like, the big market stuff don't matter. It's money. That's like, amazing. They literally got so much money. If I want to go film or get opportunity in L.A., I could take a private jet on my off day, knock it out, come back and do what I need to do. That's no longer a factor, man. You got to put the work in. And it's just as simple as that, man. So, man, bad decision made, but they benefited other teams. And now you got a monster out east with the Bucks. They could very well compete in the finals. You know, you made their team better by letting these guys go. The Pelicans going to definitely try to build around Julius Randle. If not, they're crazy. You know, it is what it is, man. But
last question for us for the
night. Nick Foles signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars for 4 years. Worth 102, but 50 guaranteed. Does this make the Jags a playoff team once again? And how does it affect Philly? Come on. Our Eagle... analyst, insider. See, I tried to get him. I was like, man, we get y'all for now.
I was not looking forward to this day.
Gone.
I don't even remember the question. It kind of just threw me off.
The Eagles, Nick, backup quarterback Nick Foles, signs with the Jaguars for 4 years, 50 guaranteed. Does just make the Jags a playoff team? How does it affect your Eagles?
I think it can make the Jags a playoff team, just depending on how Nick acclimates to the system with them. He's been a really good backup quarterback, but it's been a long time since he's had to actually be a starting quarterback for the entire season. So I'm interested to see how well he does there. I think, you know, Jacksonville's already pretty much set on the defensive side. It was that quarterback position that they were really lacking. So to have somebody, you know, coming off of a Super Bowl winning season and then, you know, taking the Eagles back to the playoffs last year, I think it's a great look for them. On the other side, you know, it's a catch-22. You got to let him go out and test the market and do what he really wants to do because of what he's done for us. It would be selfish as an organization to keep it. I wish we were selfish to keep it because at this point, our number two is Nate Sudfeld. If you don't know who that is, it is okay because nobody else does.
Come on, y'all, just disrespectful to your own.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sad like that.
What have you seen him do? Somebody tell me now.
That's not the point.
Okay, my point. Show exactly. Love. I do. He is a great third string quarterback. I need
a great third.
I'm sorry. You got to be honest, 100% real in situations like this. I do not want Carson Wentz, who has been injury prone these past 2 years, to go out of a game and it be a pivotal game that we need and Nate Sudfeld has to come in. I'm sorry. That's me. Yes, he probably knows the playbook better than anybody, but how often is he playing with the number ones? I'm sorry. I have to be completely realistic. Y'all don't know how hard it has been to be an Eagles fan prior to these past 2 years. It's been tough, okay? These past 2 years have been a blessing.
Honestly,
I'm already sad.
Oh my God.
Again.
You ain't enjoyed the McNabb years with B. Westbrook and all of them?
Yeah. The 1 year they went to the playoffs, that one, yeah, I did.
Wow.
Love them. Don't get it twisted. You know, Westbrook's is part of the family, you know. But come on, man.
1 year they went to the playoffs? 1 year? Oh, you only count Super Bowls? Yeah. That's what you.
That's what he had.
Man, she got a UConn standard, dog.
I'm just saying, though. You know how hard it is.
I'm giving you respect.
I know. I'm just saying.
How many times we got close to, you know, NFC championships and not getting past it, or the one time you get past it, we lost to the Patriots. You know, it was tough being an Eagles fan, and these last 2 years have been great. So it's kind of like a security blanket being yanked away from you, and so. It's a little bit scary. I need to figure out who's going to be the backup. We still need some more pieces.
Definitely going to be playing.
That is my point. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Carson has not made it through a full year yet. A backup quarterback 9 times out of 10 is going to have to at least touch the field at least once. I don't know how I feel about it being Nate Sudfeld at this point.
What's my man from the Bills, Peterman?
No, he can stay where he at. He might have just walked on out the league as it is now. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nah, he ain't never going
to. Then they can battle for the number two. You good.
I'm good, nah.
Talk about your thoughts on that, nah. All right, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Octavius, hopefully you guys get a backup quarterback.
I hope so.
I mean, your second starting quarterback.
Come on, man. Quarterback 1.2. 1A and 1B. I got you.
Well,
now, 1B.
Hey, first half of the season, postseason quarterback.
Then y'all just get Deshaun?
Yeah, man. But
Sudfeld going to the Pro Bowl, I'm trying to tell you.
Sudfeld about to be balling. Go, Deshaun, go.
I appreciate Deshaun coming back. Welcome back to Philly.
Man, he was like, Octavius, you like that? You like that?
Nah, that's how in what? Minnesota somewhere? Anybody got time for that?
Oh, all right. This is the Focus TV. Get over to FathersBank.com, MyModelSports.com. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same place.